Thank you, Brother Lance, for allowing me to speak today. 67 years, it's a long time. Of those 67 years, it's been my privilege to be here for 63 of them, other than my years in college in Texas. I've been here the whole time. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But would you please stand as we read from the book of Romans, chapter 1 and verse 8. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. This will be a launching pad for me. I know our pastor spoke on this recently. And I thought I wish he'd move along because that's where I'm starting my message. Come the 67th anniversary Sunday. But verse 8 says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all." May I say, I thank the Lord for all of you. And not just you, but those who through the 67 years of this ministry have been used of the Lord. But it says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of Jesus Christ who came and died that we might have eternal life. We thank you, Lord, for this outpost of faith that has remained faithful in sending forth the gospel. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to thank my wife for the singing of the song today. I also want to thank her for the great support she has been to me throughout my years of ministry. In Romans chapter 16, and we will not turn there, but we find many names of faithful men and women that remain true to the Word of God and to the house of God. And though my parents were the ones that came to this area to begin a church. And it began down here on Canal Road. They just recently painted it white. I'm always interested in people who paint brick. But it was people like you that remained faithful to the Covenant Baptist Church. I'd like to name a few, and for some of you, they'll just simply be names. But to some of us, like Diane and Debbie and Judy and my wife, who have been here for so many years, and even my brother Jim, this has been his only church. What are you now, Jim? 55, 56? How old are you? He'll be 55. So, yeah. But Don and Marion Cochran, such a blessing to my parents. In those early days, my dad did not receive a very large weekly salary. And on more than one occasion, Brother Cochran came to my dad and said, "I know you want to go away and I know you can't afford it." And he'd reach into his pocket and pull out money. For Lydia Weinberger, when she passed, probably the greatest prayer warrior our church has ever had passed. Rich and Elaine Lee, deacon for many years, teachers, Ed and Arlene Johnson, Bud and Fern Smith. On more than one occasion, I asked Brother Bud if he could look at my car and tell me what was wrong with it. And one time I was at a funeral home over on Rochester Road, and I went out to start the car, and it wouldn't start. And I called him and said, you know, Brother Smith, I know that you're not working today. He goes, I wish you didn't know that. He goes, what's wrong? And where are you? And I told him, and he says, well, I'll be down in about 15, 20 minutes to fix your car. And then as we were driving home, he waved for me to go into McDonald's. And he says, let's get something to eat. And I said, Brother Smith, I don't have any money. And he says, oh, he says, I'll treat you. You know, you just things like that, you don't forget. What a blessing. We think of Margie Prince, who for many years taught here in our church. Finally, she turned it over to her daughter to take him on. And Diane, I don't know how many years you've taught that class. We don't want to know, do we? No. Barbara Lyons, who played the piano for so many years and brought cake with green icing almost all the time. Mrs. Peterson. Now, there is something Mrs. Peterson left behind. She was in a wheelchair just as long as I can remember. And if you look at some of the pews on that side of the auditorium, you'll see where her wheelchair scraped the pews. It's her reminder that she was once part of our church. She always wanted watermelon. And she'd call my dad up and say, where's my watermelon? Well, Mrs. Peterson, it's December. I want watermelon. Don and Pat Sitter, on the front of the other building, there is a stainless steel cross that was put there when their daughter, Diana, I believe she was 12 years old when she died. And that cross is out there in front of the building and remembering her. And how about Irma Sevier? How many of you remember signing those missionary cards? And if we didn't, she'd get on us, wouldn't she? Just to name a few, there are dozens and dozens of others that I could name. And then for those who surrendered to go into the ministry, Neil and Phyllis Jackson, who were missionaries to Brazil. And my dad would tell the story of knocking on the door. And when she found out who he was, she put her hand that was holding a cigarette behind her back. And he said he just stood there and watched the smoke come up behind her. They joined our church and were here before surrendering to go. Jim and Dot Foster to Honduras. So many years. Greg and Shirley Lee. He was the first paid youth director of the Covenant Baptist Church. And can I say this, that without Greg and Shirley Lee, we wouldn't know the Muhoffs. Because he was one day canvassing on Raleigh Street and knocked at the door and invited them to come to our church. Bob and Sandy Schwartz, who were in North Carolina for years, are now in Forks, Washington. What a blessing. We think of Tim Muhlhoff, and he'll be here, in a few days? Been working for the Lord for many years. We think of Mel Sharp and how he was my first youth director. What a blessing he was. And Don and I, as you know, were traveling. We went to West Virginia and then down to Tennessee. And we were listening to the CD that Brother Mel made with my son Brian and his wife and Karen Dyer. And listening to that, bringing back memories. We think of those who have come to this church and were a blessing. We used to have a young man, Richard Brotmarkle, who played the piano. May have been one of the best pianists our church ever had, other than Cheryl Wucky and Debbie Muhlhoff. But he was a very gifted piano player. And Tessa Ganton, what a voice she had. And she was part of our church. Take your Bibles, though, and I could go on and on, but I won't because I have a message to speak. Can I tell you this? I'm hungry. And my stomach is groaning, and I hope it doesn't come through the microphone. But 3 John, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. John, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says in verse 3, "For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Is truth important? Do you believe every commercial you hear? Do you believe everything you read in the Detroit News or the Detroit Free Press? Why is that? Because we know that there is an agenda behind most of the articles. But can I tell you what? There is no greater joy than to know that God's people are remaining faithful to Him. The Covenant Baptist Church is known around the world for sending out the word through our missionaries. What a blessing. Truth is important. If you would, the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 13. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Can I say this? The job of the Covenant Baptist Church is not done. There is much to be done. We need to press forward, remembering the truth of the Word of God and the need to go forward. If you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Can I tell you this? There can be no increase unless the seed has been planted. There can be no increase unless that seed has been watered. And then God gives the increase. Verse 7. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God." We labor together. This past Wednesday, Donna and I were in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And a number of years ago, when I was there with Rudy, we came across a good Baptist church. You remember the fire that went through Gatlinburg a number of years ago. That church was burned down. Interestingly enough, that church had already begun raising money to build a new church. Now they could. The church was burnt down. They had the insurance money and gifts from churches like ours. And today they have a very lovely building. But it's good to know that there are other churches that are proclaiming the Word of God. Now I'll be honest with you. My wife and I, as we traveled to West Virginia and down through Virginia and into Tennessee, we left tracks all over the place. At restaurants, in the motels, and whatnot, planting the seed. You don't know what happens when the seed is planted, but you can only hope that it is either watering another seed that someone had already planted, or that someone will come behind, and God will give the increase. If you would, the book of Romans, chapter 3. What has been the message of the Covenant Baptist Church for 67 years? We find it in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, does that mean that my mother, bless her soul, was a sinner? Be careful. See, you all think my mother was the nicest, sweetest woman that ever walked the face of the earth. Can I tell you this? She's not here to say anything. She wasn't always that way. She sinned. How about my wife? Isn't she really special? Come on. Yeah. Yeah. How about Miss Amy? She's really nice. She fixes real good meals, doesn't she? Yes. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 6, if you would, verse 23, you probably all know it by heart. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, you don't work for a gift. You work for wages, and those wages will bring death. But the gift, oh, what a gift. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, you don't have to give me anything. Why do we lie? It's nice to be remembered, isn't it? Yes. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 10, if you would, please. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto sin. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For 67 years, the Covenant Baptist Church has invited people to call upon the Lord. We find then in verses 14 and 15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? A few days ago, I was walking into the Sterling Heights Library, and a young woman coming down the steps from the library, looking directly at me, said, "Hello, how are you?" And I thought, do I know you? And she continued to talk like I should know who she was. And I'm thinking, who are you? And I said, excuse me, but remind me who you are. And she goes, oh, I'm one of the Tewinski children. Now, you may remember the Tewinskis had about 11 or 12 or 13 kids. I don't remember how many. Lived down here on Leslie Drive. And they sent their kids to our Bible schools for years. And once I felt comfortable that I knew who she was, she began talking about what she was doing with her life and how that she was thinking of going to Togo. And you may remember our church supported for a number of years Diana Lewis, who was a missionary to Togo. And she had sent us a DVD introducing herself. And Pastor Mel and I sat in his office and we watched this DVD. And she had a number of the young children there of Togo in a class, and they were asking her questions. Why is the sky blue? And other questions, and then was the subject of salvation brought up, and one of the little boys looked at her and said, "How long have you known this? And why are you just now coming?" May I say this, the world is in need of the good news of salvation. The world is in a mess, folks. The world is struggling with right and wrong because it doesn't know the truth, because Satan hides it. And unfortunately, many churches today have stopped proclaiming it because we live in a entertainment-driven society. But what is needed is the Word of God. And how shall they preach except they be sent? If you would now to Romans chapter 5, and we'll read verses 8 through 11. And this is what the world needs to hear. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Sometimes I like to say this, "But God commendeth his love towards Paul Madonna, in that while he, Paul Madonna, was yet a sinner, Christ died for Paul Madonna." What did Paul Madonna need? He needed the Word of God proclaimed. Verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now, I don't know how many more years I have to live. If I were to live as long as my dad, I have 21 and a half years yet to go. And one thing I have realized in the last 10 years, it'll be gone quickly. Because it's amazing how fast time goes as we grow older. But if I were to pass away in the next few years, and at my funeral, these verses are not read, I want one of you to say, "I'll stand up and make sure they read them." "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us." It is the message that the Covenant Baptist Church has proclaimed through the years. And in conclusion, have you ever heard a pastor say "in conclusion" and you knew it meant absolutely nothing? My conclusions always are that, a conclusion. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12. All of us have favorite verses in the Bible. Someone says, "What's your favorite verse?" It usually depends on the day. But it says in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." I read off a list of names earlier, and most of them have passed on to their reward. They are that great cloud of witnesses. Now, I do not believe this, that there is a wall in heaven and these people look over the wall and look down to see what we're doing. That wouldn't be heaven. I don't like it when they're watching some Hallmark movie and they said, "Oh, my dad or my mother was watching me." They're not watching you. There are far greater things going on in heaven than knowing what you're doing down here. Okay. But they are concerned. They are concerned that we are remaining faithful. And we don't pray to any of the saints. We pray to Jesus Christ. But notice it tells us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How many of you have been driving down a freeway and all is going well and suddenly you see the lights out in front of you, the taillights. And you think, uh-oh, we were coming north on I-75, three lanes became two lanes became one lane. And they had the exit closed so you couldn't get off. I tell you what, 20 minutes later, we finally got past that little whatever it was. You know, we're in a race, because isn't that what you are doing on I-75 coming north? You're in a race with everybody else. But we have a course that needs to be kept. We need to keep moving. We can't be sitting on the sidelines. It has once been said that when you go to a football game, there are 22 people on the field who don't need exercise, being watched by 40 or 50,000 who do need exercise. Yes. Dave, I wonder if the Lions will rebound this weekend. Yes. They probably wish this was their bye week. We have a course that we need to keep. But verse 2, and if you highlight your Bible, highlight this, looking unto Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May I encourage you, keep your eyes on Jesus. Shall we stand together? The invitation song this morning is 394, I Surrender All. And as Guy comes to lead us in this invitation song, may we, keeping our eyes on Jesus, surrender ourselves to him. The altar is here. You can come and you can pray for the Covenant Baptist Church that it will continue to faithfully serve the Lord. Or maybe you would just like to come and get things right with the Lord. Or if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you even today to come and someone will lead you through the Scriptures and what you need to do. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, may the Spirit move and touch hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.